You think about your own life. You can think back to when you were born in your childhood and your current place of where you find yourself. You have a story. And everybody's story is so unique from someone else. No two people have the same story. Joseph, the earthly father of Jesus. The Bible tells us he was a just man or a righteous man. He loved God. He served God. He was pure and righteous in the eyes of God. Well, he knew that Mary at some point had told him she was with child. But him being the righteous man that he was, he knew that the child she was carrying inside her was not his. And so he did not want to embarrass her. But according to the law of Deuteronomy chapter 24, he could divorce her and send her or throw her out of his house. Well, maybe he was thinking those things, and maybe he was thinking, my life is ruined, or maybe he was thinking, how did I get into this situation? But that's when the angel came to him and said, don't be afraid, Joseph, to take Mary to be your wife, for her baby that's conceived inside her is from the Holy Spirit. The baby will be born, the angel said. He'll be born, and you will call his name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Joseph's story, it just got even more crazier. Wait a minute, that baby's not mine? And you mean it's not somebody else? It's from the Holy Spirit, and I'm having a conversation with the angel? Can you imagine Joseph's story? But he was obedient to that angel's command, and then he took Mary to be his wife. What a fantastic story Joseph had. And then there's Mary, the birth mother of Jesus. The angel Gabriel came and appeared to Mary, as you saw it here in our play. The Bible says that Mary was a virgin, and she was engaged or espoused to Joseph. And that angel said to her, Hail, Mary, thou art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Mary's story, can you imagine? Most Bible scholars believe she was a teenager, probably in her latter years, maybe 17, 16, 18, somewhere in there. But she finds herself pregnant. And she knew she hadn't been with anyone. And the angel comes and says, now you are highly favored among God. How can this be? For I am carrying a child and I'm not yet married. I'm sure Mary was shocked and surprised. So the angel came to her again. And in Luke chapter 1, the word of God says, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and you will call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest, and the Lord shall give unto him his throne, the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Can you imagine Mary's story? She was probably even more confused than ever. And so the angel told her that she would be pregnant, though, and it was by the power of the Holy Spirit, not by some human form. And then the angel told her the son that you're going to bring forth is going to be the Son of God. Can you imagine her story? Well, her humble response is found there in Luke chapter 1. Can you imagine a teenage girl with a child, knowing she hadn't sinned, and here the angel comes and says, Fear not, you are favored by God. And don't worry, the child within you is conceived by the Holy Spirit. I don't know how I would respond, but hear her response. She said, Behold, the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to your word. What a willing servant Mary was. Whatever her situation in life that was on her at that moment, she said, you know what? Whatever you want, Lord, I'm willing to do it. The play here we did this morning didn't talk about another story of a lady by the name of Elizabeth. Elizabeth was Mary's cousin, and she was pregnant with John the Baptist. Luke's account says, and Mary arose in those days and went into the hill country with haste. She came to that city of Judah, and she entered into the house of Zacharias and saluted her cousin Elizabeth. And it came to pass that when Elizabeth heard the salutation of Mary, the baby leaped in her womb, and Elizabeth was filled with the Holy Spirit. And she spoke out with a loud voice and said, blessed art thou among women, Mary, and blessed is the fruit of your womb. And whence is this to me that the mother of my Lord should come and appear to me? For lo, as soon as the voice of your salutation was sounded in my ears, the baby inside my womb wept and jumped for joy. And blessed is she that believed, and there shall be a performance of those things which were told her from the Lord. And Mary said these words, my soul magnifies the Lord. And my spirit, she said, has received in God my Savior. For he has regarded the low estate of his handmaiden. And behold, from henceforth all generations shall call me blessed. For he that is mighty has done to me great things, and holy is his name, and his mercy is on them that fear him from generation to generation. Joseph and Mary and Elizabeth had a story to tell. And then there were the angels. After Jesus was born, the angel of the Lord appeared to the shepherds. They were watching their flock in the fields at night. And the angel announced there in Luke chapter 2, fear not, shepherds, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior. He is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign unto you. You will find the baby wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger. Can you imagine the story of the shepherds? Bible scholars tell us the shepherds were often young girls and boys from the poor side of town. They couldn't afford flocks of their own, and so they would shepherd or watch over the flocks of the rich people. And here they were watching the flock by night, probably like any other night before. They had the sheep in the pasture, probably lying down, maybe taking a nap. Nothing unusual, and all of a sudden, an angel appears to these shepherds. What a story. What a story the angels had, for they pronounced, unto you is born this day, in the city of David, a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Wouldn't that have been a great thing to be that angel that got to pronounce that birth? After the announcement, a multitude of heavenly hosts or other angels joined in, and they said, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The angels had a story. They knew that this night was special. They knew that God had sent his own Son, demonstrating his great love for all of us, sending Jesus, the Savior, the Christ, the Lord. Oh, those shepherds, when they heard this announcement, their story was, let us now go to Bethlehem and let us see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known unto us. I have heard it argued that, oh, the shepherds really didn't know what was going on and they just wanted to go see what was going on. That is not true. For I believe the shepherds knew exactly what was going on that night. The angels had said, here's what's going on. And they said, let us now go and let's see this thing. And in verse 16 of Luke chapter 2, the Bible says, they came with haste. They were so eager to go and see Jesus. What a story that they had that night. In verse 17 of chapter 2 of Luke, and when they had seen it, they made known abroad the saying which was told them concerning this child. Can you imagine the shepherds going out and telling this wild story? Well, an angel came to us and we saw this baby, a king, the Savior, the Christ, the Lord. And maybe someone would have asked, well, what temple was he born in? What great kingdom? Well, we found him down in the manger. And so all the people, they had a story to think about as well after these shepherds were announcing what they had seen and what they had heard. Luke's account says, and all of the people that heard these things from these shepherds wondered at those things which were told them by these shepherds. The people had been told the story of the dear Savior's birth. The Bible says they wondered about that. Is it true? Is it real? Well, who's going to believe the teenage shepherds and shepherdesses? They just woke up out of their sleep. They don't know what they're talking about. A king in a manger? Those people that heard that story had to decide, do we believe this or do we not? The shepherds went on, they returned glorifying and praising God for all of the things that they had heard and seen as it was told them. The shepherds, oh, they believed. You didn't have to convince them, for they had been appeared to by an angel, and they had gone and seen the Christ child. And maybe some of those people they were telling the story to laughed at them. Maybe some of them made fun of them. Maybe some of them said they were crazy, but those shepherds knew what they had seen and what they had heard. They had seen the Savior, the Christ, the Messiah, the Redeemer, the Anointed One, our Lord. Well, later, we have the story of the wise men or the Magi. Matthew's account in chapter 2, now when Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, there came wise men from the east to Jerusalem, and they asked this question, where is he that has been born, king of the Jews? For we have seen his star in the east, and we are come to worship him. These wise men came from far away searching for the meaning of the star, and finding the meaning of this birth of a king. And after meeting with King Herod, he sent them to Bethlehem to find the king that they were searching for. Matthew says these words, when they had heard the king Herod, they departed, and lo, that star which they saw in the east went before them, till it came and stood over where the young child was. And when they saw that star, they rejoiced with exceeding great joy. When they found Jesus, what a story! These guys had been on a journey, most scholars say it's probably about a year and a half, traveling 300 miles, following a star, taking them to the king. And when they had finally got to their destination, here's the story they tell. And when they were coming to the house, the wise men saw the young child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and they worshiped him. And when they had opened their treasures, they gave unto him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. Well, their story didn't end there at that scene. For when they were done with that, they were warned in a dream, don't go back to Herod. So they went back to their own country, a different route. After all of that had taken place, the angel of the Lord appeared again to Joseph, and he said, arise and take the young child and his mother and go into Egypt and stay there until I bring you word again, for Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when Joseph arose, he took his young son and Mary his wife, the mother, by night and departed into Egypt. What a story that they had to tell. And part of our play here today, we also have a couple other characters who are carrying the cross, representing everyday, ordinary people, just like you and I, recognizing their need for a Savior, who is Jesus. The story that we all have probably heard since we've been small children. This is not probably your first play. If it is, I hope you're understanding what's going on. We have heard this story time and time again. God loved us so much that He sent us His Son. He sent us His Son to be born in the lowly manger, but only to grow up and some 33 years later die a cruel death on the cross as the sacrifice for our sins. Those two people carrying that cross, they had to decide if they want to go to Jesus. Just like every person here this morning, and I'm no separate from you, we all have to decide, do we want to go to Jesus, the Savior, the Christ, the Lord? Many of you may say, I've done that, Pastor. Jesus is my Lord and Savior. Praise God. I'm so glad. I'm so glad. But it was something else that I saw in those two people carrying the cross, for Tiffany was reading the Word, and Mike was carrying that cross, but a few times, if you noticed, they fell in their walk. Don't we do that sometimes? We fall in our walk. Oh, we try to follow Christ. We try to keep our eyes fixed on Him. But the evils of the world sometimes takes that from us. But notice this. Here's what I saw. Even when they fell, Mike never let go of the cross. He clung to the cross of Jesus. And when Tiffany fell, she clung to the Word, never letting go. And they were able to get themselves back up and keep walking on their journey. Folks, when we fall, we have to make a decision. We can fall and let go of the cross and say, I've had it. I ain't doing this no more. When we fall, we can drop our Bible and just say, you know what, I can't read it anyway, it's too hard. No, God calls on us to pick up that cross and follow Christ. God calls us to pick up the Word, keep reading and studying the Word, stay the course. This morning, you are part of the story. Oh, you may not have been in the play, but you're part of the story. For you have now been told God's story. The Bible says, in it, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible tells us that God loved us so much, He gave His only begotten Son, so that whosoever believes in Him shall not perish, but shall have everlasting life. You've been told a story. And so the question is, what will you do with it? This morning, if you don't know Christ as your Savior, I would just encourage you, just there in your seat, to sometime today, or even grab me by the arm before you leave here, just say, Pastor, I need Christ as my Savior. I have sinned. I need forgiveness from God, and I want Jesus. All you got to do, the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You can do that. Just call upon the name of the Lord and ask God to forgive you and just say, God, I believe in the Jesus that you've sent us. Maybe you've already done that. If Jesus is your Savior and your Christ and your Lord, you're still part of the story. For the next question then would be, are you telling your story? Are you telling people how you got saved? Are you telling people how you are trying your best to live for Christ? Are you telling people, hey, when I fall, I'm not going to let go of the cross, and I'm going to cling to the Word? That's your story. That's all Jesus wants from us. He wants us to say, yes, Lord, I believe in you. And yes, Lord, I'm going to cling to the cross. And yes, Lord, I'm going to stay truthful to sound doctrine of your Word. And yes, Lord, I'm going to tell the story of your birth and your death and your resurrection and how you forgave me and how I get eternal life with you. But until that time, you're walking with me as I carry my cross, as I cling to it. When I fall, you're there to help me up. I'm going to hold on to that cross. And here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to follow Jesus as one of his final commands before he ascended up. And I believe this, folks. I believe that Jesus is coming back again, just like the Bible says. And listen to me, I believe it's going to be very quick. Now, I am not going to predict, because the Bible says no one knows. But I believe it's going to be quick. The world is out of control. Everything is shaping up. I believe Jesus is coming soon. And it could very well be today or in your lifetime. But until then, I'm going to do what Jesus said. And here's what he said. Because I've been given the story. You've been given the story. What are we going to do with that story? Jesus says, go, therefore, and teach all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach them to observe all things, whatever I have commanded you. And remember this, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world.